بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. One woman came to the Qazi of the time and she asked some masla. Old days now, over 1,000 years ago, when there was a lot of simplicity, modesty and shame. People were straight, simple, clear. So the Mufti Sahib, the Qazi Sahib, said, La Adri, I don't understand, I don't know. So he replied, what a disgrace. You are paid by the state and you can't furnish answers. So the Mufti Sahib, still relaxed, not the least disturbed, and he says, you see, I'm only being paid for what I know, and if the state had to pay me for what I don't know, then the state would have never been in a position to afford my salary, because every person's majhulat is far greater than his ma'lumat. What he doesn't know is far more than what he knows. Ma utitum min al-ilmi illa qalila. Allah just gave a minuscule of knowledge. And with that minuscule of knowledge, how do we become bloated? We can't contain ourselves, express ourselves. But yet, if you see into the vastness of the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, there is not even a speck, nothing. This line of La Adri, when a person has learned that line of La Adri, then he is very progressive. I don't know. But Ibn Mas'ud Riyan, he says, when a person knows it properly, then he furnishes the answer. He doesn't know it, then he must learn the answer of La Adri. I don't know it. Because the Malaika, when they didn't know the answer, they also said La Adri, Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana faqala anbi'uni أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَائِ هَؤُلَىٰ. Allah Ta'ala addressed the Malaika, tell me the names. We don't know. لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا. So the Malaika didn't feel embarrassed. Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked, أَيُّ الْبِقَاءِ خَيْرٌ. Which spot of the earth is the best? The Muslim did not feel ashamed to say, I don't know. He referred it to Jibreel. Jibreel al-Islam also said, La Adri, I don't know. Until Jibreel referred it to Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala said, the best spot is the masjid. And the worst spot is the bazaar shopping places. It's the best and it's the worst. But none of them felt ashamed to give this answer, I don't know. So the answer, you know it very, very well. You check the references, and also you check the context, then explain. But you didn't check the answer, you didn't see the references, right? Like I was explaining, for Allah Pak's sake, right? Please don't quote. I don't know. Remain silent and don't quote. Unless you absolutely certain, absolutely clear, there won't be anybody misconstruing it. So then you quote, and you don't know it, or you're basing your answers on the wrong base. So that also happened, there's a problem. Hey. So someone tells you, this person is misguided, right? And he's giving you grounds for his misguided. So no, he can't be misguided because he's got such a big following. So therefore, he can't be misguided. Then I ask you, is there any group that is greater than the Christian? They got the greatest numbers. So if the guidance was subject to the numbers, they must have been most guided. Now you see, this wrong premises. Reasoning not right. But now you want to have your word. You want to say something. Right? And in that frame of mind that I want to have my word, you want to say something. And you don't realize that you're misleading someone, and you don't even feel embarrassed after it. That I misguided the person, I wasn't sure, I wasn't thorough about it, and I just gave something which I didn't know about. Then you look in the Muslim world, the Shia got a country of its own. In Pakistan, most of the key positions are Shias and Qadianis. Key positions, numbers they got, and the government also can't smash them down, can't quell them. So what do you say now? They're also right. Many years ago, there was a group, right? So Turkey has got some problems with them. Gulen group, this group, that group. So they came here to the madrasa. So they introduced themselves that they belong to this group here, whatever, Gulen group, whatever. And this is the head of Africa department. And this is the Midran Imam. Right? They wanted to meet, alright. So in the course of the conversation, they were trying to impress me that, you know, we know the rector of Darul Deoband, you know, this Ustad Mawlana Nasir Khan Saab, and you know Mawlana Salim Saab, Qaitiyab Saab's son. But there were others that are sitting around, and if I remain silent, then it would mean that as though I'm acknowledging this group. Now that will go, it won't go good for these people. Because they come with the person, and I'm just absolutely silent. So what happens to these people? They go with the wrong message. So anyway, I told him, see, you know, there are some students that came from your madrasa. They were somewhere in Overport, some whatever. But now, they are receiving phones from the madrasa that they must come back. They've been with you all for 3 years, 2 years. So I approached them and asked them, see, your madrasa is calling you, and why don't you go back? And meanwhile, I went and seen the madrasas, so state of the art, the layout, the gardening, the rooms, everything, I had seen it. So I called his boys. I asked him, but they are calling you, so why don't you go? So is there anything not right there? He said, no, the food not right. No, the food is far better than here. Every meal getting a Coke, chilled nice in the summers, whatever you need, you know, to keep, to spoil yourself, to give you all these things here. The education, no, they give you a stop circular education as well. So then, why don't you go back? So they said, no, but there's no sunnah there. So then I asked, alright, what do you mean by no sunnah there? So now every week they'll give you a blade to shave off your beard. And number two, the second complaint was, if they get you, they hear you listening to Muakkatani, you're thrown out of the madrasa. So that hurt me. Because I know blacks, they like Muas lectures. Iman Yaqeen takes them off. Whatever. But that holds the spirits, so then I will encourage myself. It takes the spirits up. They require that, so the spirit, they feel motivated and they feel spirit. What I got before was a Joe style. But the style blends in with them. They also, they like the Joe's. So it goes well with them. So now, in the meanwhile, the Africa department is there, head, Midran Imam is there. So the Midran Imam, so he started another note. When we spoke about the beard, you know, shaving words, I saw now his face went red. Looking, you know, who's, and what's the response, how they're talking, what's going on. His face went red. So now he had to cover up, come on to his defense. So he started the majority, minority. You know, I said, we talk of majority. So he started the majority note. So I interrupted him, because if I see someone is going wrong, then I won't listen to his talk too long. So to interrupt him, butt in, and smash him down. So I can see now the line he's taking is wrong. I must listen to 1 hour, and then I must conclude. I may not have the chance to conclude. So then I said, hey, how must I smash this person down? So I said, alright, you're the imam of the Midran. You've got this population around you, say 5 kilometer radius. Majority of the people come for Fajr Namaz, or they don't attend Fajr Namaz. No, he got stumped, finished. Because if he says majority don't come for Namaz, then according to your rule of majority and minority, the Fajr Namaz must be not halved, also must be marked. Safar normally is halved, right? The Fajr Namaz must be, hey, now he couldn't hold his anger. He came breathing, came full. So that head Africa department said, oh, we're very grateful to meet you. How are you? Just some Turkish gifts. Zakallah. Pleasure to meet you. Honored. Salaam alaikum. So you don't have the knowledge, then don't get into a conversation. Somebody is saying something or listen to him, then you won't refer, you won't find out. But nobody has got that courage or the time to go and refer and find out to get his knowledge right. You know, I must have a word, I must have a say in that. In the meanwhile, dalla fa adalla. You lost and you have misled as well. In the process, you have lost and you have misled. Now, you don't even realize that you misled. Because you don't have the time. Got time for money, got time for gabshap, got time for nonsense. But to see that your knowledge is thorough, proper, sound, you don't have the time. So I'm explaining some hadith. I said, now look, there's a hadith which says, Laysa min al-birri as-sawmu fi safar. Fasting in safar is not an act of piety. That's the more or less understanding, right? Safar for a musafir is not an act of piety. And you quoted this in isolation. You didn't see the context. But when you didn't see the context, now, what conclusions will arrive? You're going for Umrah, right? 13 days in Makkah Mukarramah and 13 days or 14 days in Medina Munawwarah. Right? 4 weeks here and 13 days. So then I need to tell you, you know what? It's a sin for you to perform, to do your rozas in Makkah and Medina. Why? Laysa min al-birri as-sawmu fi safar. Fasting in safar is not an act of piety. So now you can't fast. You don't suffer 13 days here, 14 days here. You don't suffer. Then I tell you, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, when he saw someone performing sunnah namaz in safar, then he rebuked them. People are not following the sunnah. What's wrong with you people? So now added to that, I'll tell them that you see, based on this hadith, it will be 13 days here and 14 days here. For you to attend the Tarawih namaz is a sin. Ibn Umar, he rebuked those people, reprimanded them for sunnats, etc., whilst they won't suffer. Now, how this came about? Because now, you just heard one hadith and you want to apply the thing yourself. No context, sequence, nothing. And you don't have the heart to go and find out. But you see where it comes from. I know it, nobody has come and teach me. I must have last day. That attitude, and you don't realize that the attitude is smashing you down. The attitude brought about complacence, and the complacence brought, I know it, everything, so nobody must come and tell me. So, Hazrat Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah is giving a bayan, And he explained the same hadith, Laysa min al-birri as-sawmu fi as-safar. So he says, generally the law is al-ibratu la li khususi al-mawrid. La li khususi al-mawrid, li umumi Allah's side. So that's the law. That when you are taking a lesson, right, you won't just confine it to that situation. The umumi lafs. You don't confine it to us. This is not in this situation. You won't confine it. So, or let's put it the other way. It won't be confined to the word. You will look at the context. It's easier for you to understand. You won't confine it to the word. You look at the context. Right. Now, as more times I've explained this, and thereafter he said, بَشَرْتِ كَ مُرَادِ مُتَكَلِّمْ كَ خِلَافْ نَوْ. Provided it is in accordance to what the speaker had meant. Provided it is in conformity to what the speaker had meant. Now you see, ilm. Now this will have ilm. We don't read the kitabs. We don't understand. And then we're going to give our two cents. I say, now, you're going to spread jahalat, you're going to spread ilm. Now, this bayan was over. One person came and asked, the Shah Sahib, rahmatullahi, he was there at the bayan. He asked him the same thing, you know, al-ibratu la li khususil loves li umumil mawrid, whatever it was, right? So Shah Sahib said, but didn't you hear the talk of Hazrat Mawlana Taimi Sahib rahmatullahi just now? He mentioned this. It's not just restricted to the word. Look at the context. Didn't you hear that? So that means he supported what Hazrat Mawlana Taimi Sahib rahmatullahi said. Now, let me show you the whole context. If you understand it in perspective, you get the right understanding. Understand it in context, so you get the right understanding, right? And you must take out the time, find out, let's keep quiet. Then follow someone. But don't say anything. But why, unnecessary, why must you put yourself, why must you jam yourself into problem? You don't know it properly, you don't know it thoroughly, you just learned one line, and you want to give that one line. Aren't you going to make a mess up? So now, understand the context. The context was, there was a person, Mawshiyan Ali, he fainted, right? Yuzallalu can mean people were crowding around as though they shaded him, right? So, under that context, the Bishop said that this is not an act of piety to be fasting in Safar. Now, they're going jihad, 500 miles have to travel, right? Tabuk or something, right? And now he's fasting. So, when he's going to be fasting, right, he fainted, he couldn't manage the heat. Right. And then there's people that crowded him. So I ask you, has he disrupted everybody's suffer and is he disturbed him himself or not? He's put himself into problems and he's put people into problems. See that? He's put himself into problems by we undertaking the suffer here and he's fainted now. So he's put people into problems and he's put himself into problems. So this type of a fast is not an act of piety. But do you see now the context? Without the context, you understand it rightly. See? Now, this is a problem in this day. I got something, I want to pass it on. I know it, I mustn't refer to anybody. Just subscribe to one group and just give it. Right. See now the whole context, how it works out. So this type of a person, for this person here, is not an act of piety to be fasting whilst he's in Safar. Okay. Now you talk of Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, and we stop them from being sunnat namaz whilst in Safar. That is a situation now, you're hurrying, right? You're hurrying to reach at a certain time, reach a certain place. Right? Now, one sati now, he's reading his sunnat namaz, itminan ke saath. You are hurrying to get now. Somewhere it's a janaza, sometime you have to attend an ijtima or some place. At a certain time you must reach a meeting or whatever it is, right? Now, itminan ke saath, now he is reading his nafil namaz, the sunnat namaz. Is he disturbing the whole journey or not? He is disrupting the journey. So for that person, Ibn Umar must claim that you stop it now. It's not sunnah. So one is halatul sayr and one is halatul qarar. Halatul sayr, you're not supposed to be doing that. Everybody is rushing. And now you think you're doing an act of piety, you're doing a lot of nafil namaz, whilst you are traveling. Is that an act of piety when you're disturbing so many people? Yes, now you stop over at a certain spot, you're going to be there for a day, 2 days, going for istima, you're going to be there for 3 days, right? Going for umrah, you're going to be in one spot for 13 days, another spot for 14 days. You're going to go to Bin Dawud's, right? You're going to go for some other things also around, go to ziyarat, everything else, right? You're going to meet some friends, you're going to do a lot of things. So the only thing that you leave out is leave your tarawih namaz. Right? Is that making sense? See that halatul sayr and halatul qarar. Now if you understood the whole thing, then you understood the hadith in perspective. But now we're not learning the thing properly and we don't have that heart to go and find out. What comes to mind? Majority, minority, just follow the thing, carry on. Like you bring the whole deen into the concept of democracy. Democracy works on the number of hands, it's count of hands. That's how it works. So the whole deen now has to revolve around your thinking. Is that right? So, you see what tasawwuf does. The whole aim of tasawwuf is to get your thinking right, get your understanding right. And without your understanding right, your conclusions are going to be wrong as well. See, that's why. مَا كَانَ الْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً. This whole surah, Tawbah, is the whole theme is about aimed at the munafiqeen. Whole behavior, يَعْتَزِيرُونَ إِلَيْكُمْ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ. Right? مُنَافِقُونَ الْمُنَافِقَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ مِنْ بَعْضِ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمُنْكَرِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمَعْرُوفِ يَقْبِضُونَ أَيْدِيَهُمْ. الْأَعْرَابُ أَشَدُّ كُفْرًا وَنِفَاقًا. Right? So the whole surah is aimed at them, at the munafiqeen. So why does Allah speak about the munafiqeen? So He speaks about the munafiqeen, so you keep on your guard. Right? So you don't adopt their ways. They've got a certain way, certain style. So you don't come into the bracket of the munafiqeen. So Allah is saving you, protecting you. Right? Then Allah will speak at the end, He'll round the whole thing up and say, alright, what are the sifat of the mu'min? See, they spoke about the munafiqeen. He reprimanded them, right, whatever they were, right? He pointed out the mistakes, that if there was any sincere soul, he could repent and correct himself. But also, he is also warning the believers that you don't follow their footsteps. Right? But then, the speech of Allah Ta'ala, Kalamul Muluk, is Mulukul Kalam, the speech of Allah Ta'ala is complete, it's perfect. If there's a discrepancy, it's in your mind. The Kitab of Allah Ta'ala, la rayb fi, no problems there. So, when you can't see it, it doesn't mean it doesn't have guidance, it doesn't have light, it doesn't have a direction. There's everything there. But there is a deficiency, your eyes is not right. You can't see right. One person, Umar Diyan, who it was, he says, no, I saw the moon. The way you saw it, was that's it. Umar just did this. You saw the moon. No moon now. So there was one strand of hair that was covering his eye. That made him see something that wasn't present. So he just did this. When he did this, his eyes, his vision just corrected it. So you see, the Amir has to be so understanding. Understand, see the thing, how it works, how it goes about. You can't just pass a decision like that. People will do everything to try and spoil things, corrupt things. Sometimes you have to give in also. One person comes to Harun al-Rashid or Mahmud al-Rashid. He says, you know, I want to go for Hajj and I need some help. So Mahmud al-Rashid was an alim, quite intelligent. So he says, do halse khalidi. Ulama already speak that, do halse khalidi. There can be one or two situations. Either you're a wealthy person. If you're a wealthy person, then you don't need the help. Or either you are poor. If you're poor, you don't need to do hajj. But the man was quite sharp. So he says, you see, I didn't come to you in the capacity of a mufti sahab. I came to you in the capacity of a wealthy person. If you got the money to give me, give it. Otherwise, say you don't have it. So you have to pull out the money and give it to him. So sometimes you're put into a corner. Right? But now that's not a Sharia thing. Now that was just to save your reputation. Now, to give out something to save your reputation also is sadaqah. See, if someone is trying to disgrace you, is trying to defame you, and you give something to save your reputation, save your name, that's also sadaqah. He's trying to defame you, he's trying to disgrace you. Right. Right. So the money was to save the reputation, not the other way around. Not the other way around, the money was there to save the reputation. So we talk about the verse, مَا كَانَ مِنُوَ الْيَنْفِرُوا كَافَ. So it's the Tabuk expedition, it's about the last major expedition. There's a lot of lessons. So when I look at the lessons, it's too much. You think, you find something. Think again, you find again. And how can it end? When it's the word of Allah that it can't end. Just, as you look, you find another gem coming up. Looking, you find another pearl coming up. Look again, after 10 years, you find something else coming up. It just carries on and on. So, one place Allah says, مَا كَانَ لِأَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ يَوْمَنْ حَوْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ أَنْ يَتَخَلَّفُوا عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Can't leave Rasulullah, can't go, remain behind Rasulullah. Can't refuse to join up with Rasulullah. Any translation, can't join up, can't refuse to join up, or you can't remain behind. وَلَا يَرْغَبُوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. They can't prefer their lives to his life. See that? They can't prefer their lives to his life. So that means now, when there's a call, then all need to respond. Everybody has to go when there's a call, right? Nobody's an exception. Nobody's an exception to the rule. So at home now, they're making my tashkil now. See, Spingo Beach now, 1,000 people, and they've got 20 buses. So they don't want to see anybody in Spingo Beach. Spingo Beach, they all go to the Istima. So I do make them understand, right? I said, see, that 20 buses is meant for how many people? 1,000. But there's about 5 that's extra. Now what are you going to do? They have to stay behind. So every bus can only take 50, right? So how much you need? 20. 20 for 1,000. Right? Now, there's 5 more than, then where are they going to go? So I will just keep the cut coming, right? Now, this one verse, right, that you can't. When is that? You can't say everybody must go. Because there's a thing like distribution of obligations. Right, everybody goes out, right? There's an emergency case here. Now, which doctor is going to serve him? Right, someone passes away, who's going to do the janazah namaz? Someone is ailing, who's going to do the khidmat? Right. Someone needs a masla urgently, who's going to do it? Someone will have to remain. The masjid will close down, no namaz, no muazzin. Kya hoga? Right. Oh, there's a threat. Now who's going to be there? It's going to be anybody around. So now, one call is meant for everybody. And everybody has to come. When the jihad is from the Amir al-Mu'mineen, then مَا كَانَ لِأَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ مَنْ حَوْلَهُ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ أَنْ يَتَخَلَّفُوا. Then everybody has to respond. But this is not at that level. This is not at that level. But this is not, this call is not at that level, so you can't use this ayat for that situation. And if someone is using it for that situation, then it's wrong. Because then that would mean that leave out every other farz kifaya and attend to this. Now, is that right? It's not right. There's a lot of other farais. Someone has to be at the hospital, someone has to be at the janazah, someone has to be seeing the sick, someone has to be seeing his ailing parents, someone has to be at the madrasa. Now all the farz has to be all shut down for this one farz kifaya. Is it right? Is it right? But in the event where the amirun, the amirun can only be one amir for the whole world. There can't be two amirun. Can't be. إِذَا بُوِيَعَ لِلْأَوَّلِ فَقْتُلُ الْآخَرِ He says, when everybody has pledged the allegiance on one amir's hands, and someone else claims to be the amir, then push him, put him away. Khalas. فَقْتُلُ الْآخَرِ So you can't have the second amir. Just one amir. So if the call is made at the level of an amirun minin, right? Amirun is not one of us living here. Because today, you say you're the Amirun Minin, right? Right? Say if the Kafirin make you the Asir, smaller, right? They make the Amirun Minin the Asir, they make him a captive, they make him a prisoner. Will all the Mu'minin be able to release that Amirun Minin? They can't. So what type of an Amirun Minin is that? Amirun Minin must have some clout. He must have some strength, some might. That's the Amirun Minin. Understand? So when there's a call from the side of the Amirun Minin, then everybody needs to respond. Right? Otherwise, they have to go on the law of farz kifaya, distribution of responsibilities. See, there's responsibilities, and all the responsibilities of deen have to be fulfilled. Different responsibilities, and those different responsibilities have to be fulfilled. They're all farz. Otherwise, everybody will be sinful. So now, that Tabuk is over, and everybody had to respond, right? But now, normal circumstance, what? Ma kana minuna liyanfiru kaffa. That when there's a call, then all Muslims are not supposed to be leaving out. See that? Ma kana minuna liyanfiru kaffa. Lessons there. First, when there's a call at a level of the Amir Minin, and he didn't make an exception. He didn't make an exception for anybody, then all must leave. Many a time when I look at this verse, I think, are the people prepared for an Islamic state? Are the people mentally prepared for an Islamic state? So you have to get yourself mentally prepared also. We want an Islamic state, but we are also prepared. Otherwise, say for example, the Amir Min says something, and you defy, then that's a Kabira, it's a big thing, big guna. Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasulah wa ulil amri minkum. You defied the Amir Min, that's a major guna. Major problem. Not a minor thing, it's a major problem. So anyway now, that Tabuk is over, right? Now Allah Pak says, ma kan minun aliyan firu kafir. All can't be going out at the same time. And then he says, فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِنْهُمْ طَائِفًا Now there's two tafsir to this. I'll just explain one tafsir, right? فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِنْهُمْ طَائِفًا From every community, from every community, some people should go out لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ This one tafsir. There's another tafsir also, but I'm just confining it to one. From every community, some people leave out لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ They must leave for what? They must leave not to learn deen. It's not لِيَعْلَمُ وَلِيَفْقَهُ لِيَتَفَقَّهُ right. See that I said learn the thing and learn it from the context. Learn it properly. But you just learn the word. And now you are giving what word you have learned. Are you giving the right message? So the word that has been used in the Quran Sharif لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ That you get sound knowledge. لِيَتَفَقَّهُ Sound. إِنَّمَا الْفِقْهُ بِالتَّفَقُّهُ That understanding comes when it's sound, it's deep-rooted. Then you get the proper understanding. And the deep-rooted knowledge comes when لِيَتَفَقَّهُ They have devoted themselves to the understanding of deen. It's not just tertiary four farz in wuzu. you have devoted yourself properly to the understanding of Deen. What is at the maktab level, you just learn basics, right? Madrasa also, most people just learn the basics and they go on. So they're not in a position to have that sound understanding. You have the fakkal, see the words. فَذَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةِ مِنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُ. Devote themselves to not just the acquiring, to the understanding from the depths, understanding sound understanding. So it must be so sound that it's so well supported that nobody can break the argument. Otherwise, if your knowledge is just surface, then simply someone can just trip you down. See, that person was talking of majority and minority. And again, alright, majority coming for namaz, or majority not coming for namaz. So that means namaz is maaf then. See that. So the knowledge is shallow. When the knowledge is shallow, then you can't reason, you can't understand it. Then you'll have doubts in your own deen. Why not? There's no doubts in that. The doubts will be in you. You didn't acquire it properly, and you want to get yourself involved in discussions. When you got yourself involved in discussions, you put yourself into problems. You didn't have the decency to say that I can't get into discussion because I don't have the knowledge. And I don't want to get into discussion because I don't want doubts. So I don't want to get into a discussion. I don't want to hear this talk here. I don't want to hear to this radio and that. Why? Because I'll listen to all these things here and I'll just make a kachumar of my mind. My mind will be just heaped up with problems, with doubts, with suspicions. So I don't want that. My mind is clear now, I just keep it clear. Okay. Here, more time is up, I should say. The emphasis in the old was not on increasing the knowledge. The emphasis was on suhbat and muhabbat. What? Suhbat and muhabbat. You got that suhbat, that association, and you got the love. You will begin to get the understanding of deen. Maybe you don't have the words, but you'll get to understand it. This is not right. In the beginning 60s, there was some parvez. I can vaguely remember. He visited our shores. Parvez, right? After that, there was one doctor, right? It's quite famous also. So now, this Parvez was here, and I don't know exactly where the program was, but he had just a cotton socks and he made masa upon the cotton socks. There was one Parag Chacha there. So he said, "Hey, I to barabar ni lagtu, man, this doesn't look right." Quickly they just bundled him up and they chased him away quickly. So he may have not had the words, what is for us, all that, but he understood that this is not right. This is not right, and we can't continue with this. Although his talks were too powerful. His talks were very powerful. But this chacha saw that wuzu and said, "This is not looking right," bundled him up and chased him away. Then we discovered that this person was a total miscreant, absolutely off. We discovered after that. And then another professor that came, I can't just get the name now, also from Pakistan, right? Head of a university, head of a madrasa, right? And he was also totally off. And I attended the talk. The talk was in early 60s, in the civic hall, you know, Spinger Beach. We were getting really, really impressed with the scientific facts and the theories and all that. And after that we got to know, okay, this person is also completely off. Totally off. Then we got to know. So now, this verse is saying, لِيَتَفَقَّوْا, they must devote themselves to the understanding of deen. Alright, then, to get a proper understanding of deen, then they must understand deen in the three different departments of deen. So it's not just one department, three departments of deen, and they knowledge in the three departments must be absolutely thorough. Right. The one department will be iman, right? Mal iman, right? So iman will refer to all the things that pertain to belief. everything, all your archive. Right? So your understanding of the belief is so sound that nobody can find any inroads to come and break your beliefs. Right? You had Murjiya, Mu'tazila, Qadriya, Jabriya, Rafidiya, Khawarij, all these things, right? And the Ahlul Sunnat came and smashed them down, right? Now you're getting a different group in this day. In Arabic, they call them Ibahiyya, right? We call them modernists, we call them liberalist, right? So now, the whole idea is to liberate people from the original law. What? To liberate people from the original law. Law, this is the law. This was followed over 1,400 years. Liberate them, open them from the shackles. So they have to do it very smartly, so they liberate them, but they don't realize that they are getting liberated. So now how they'll liberate them? They'll liberate them using catchy phrases. Phrases that will be catchy. So they'll use different phrases to catch people. Now, they spoke about feminism and they spoke about gender equality, right? So, some years ago this thing came, many years ago, right? So I said in that answer, my answer normally is very brief, one line, two lines, finish. Now, unless someone makes some ishkal after that, then I'll open the thing up. So I just wrote the one line answer that I don't see a difference between feminism and Satanism. A whole lot of responses came. Hey, this is wrong. Some ulama, Murana Bam, Sonia Singh, all against me. All against me. Right? Then I just said, "Bhai, this gender equality is kufr." Are they waiting now? But why it is kufr? I said, because it's totally against the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif says, لِرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. Man has a rank over woman. What are you saying? That they are equal. So are you in conformity with the Quran or against the Quran? The Quran Sharif is saying, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَى. Men are leaders. Men are leaders, rulers over women. And what are you saying? They are equals. So are you in conformity with the Quran Sharif or are you going against the Quran Sharif? The Hadith of Pak is saying, had I instructed anybody to bow down to anybody, I would have instructed women to bow down, to make sajda to the husbands. Against Rasulullah or not. Then how can you be a Muslim? The Hadith of the Quran Sharif is saying, لِرِجَالِ مِسْلُحَ الزِّلْ أُنْسَيِّينَ. Right? لِذَّكَرِ مِسْلُحَ الزِّلْ أُنْسَيِّينَ. When you're winding up an estate, the son will get one share, whilst the daughter will get half the share. So are you in conformity with the Quran Sharif or against the Quran Sharif? It is the consensus of all the ummah that the imam will be a man, right? And you're saying gender equality, right? So you are in conformity with the consensus or against the consensus. Now you see that. Now nobody answers this thing yet. Nobody. But this whole group is Ibahiyat, like I said, Mu'tazila, Khawarij, whatever else. But what the aim is to liberate you. Liberate you from what? From the shackles of the Sharia. Right? From the structures of the Sharia, they want to liberate you. And nobody's seeing within it that this is what's happening. Or if they're seeing it, they're not talking about it. But I ask you, are we making a mess up of the beliefs of people or not? See, our gender equality now, what must we do? Can you see that? So they're going against it, right? Now, in every line of this, and this is the line they will follow. Liberate. So they'll go in different ways, let's say judgmental, agree, to disagree, all this thing here, right? All this type of catchy phrases. It catches the mind. When it catches the mind, then you feel, what's wrong with it? Then everything that was now, say 30 years ago, everything that was looked at with contempt. 30, 35 years or 40 years ago, everything that was looked at with contempt. Now, there is no contempt left Or they just say, they'll just wave it off saying, there's a difference of opinion. Interest, you know, it's alright now, there's takaful, murabaha, musharaka, everything is working right. But you can ask the people at the bank, Islamic banks, right? Do you find, first you ask them, what's your portfolio, you know, I was in the APSA, or I was in FNB, and left the bank to come and work here, Islamic bank. So they come here to discuss their matters, and you ask them, alright, do you find any difference? So, you know, exactly the same, it's only difference of names, but what we are doing, they we're doing here exactly the same. And really our conscience is affecting us. One person said it clearly, won't mention his name. He said, in this thing here, I'm being made the shaitan to do all the wrong here, all the haram here. And he could, he left. He actually said this with the words, he came here once, but after that he said, his observation, say, I'm made the shaitan to do all this dirty haram work here. And he could after that. But you see now, you just change the words around, and you change their words around, and you made it appear that it is halal. So I ask you, is there any difference between that and what the Jews did? The Jews did the same thing. حَرَّمُوا لَهُمْ شُحُومُ Allah Pak had made the fats of animals haram for them. أَلَّا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا كُلَّ ذِي زُفُرُ وَمِنَ الْبَقَرِ وَالْغَنَمِ حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ شُحُومَهُمَا Fats were all haram. So what they did now? So they played around the law. How they played around the law? Azabuha, they went and melted the thing. So, one is called fat. When you melt it, then it becomes oil, isn't it? Become liquid. Faba'uha, fa'akalu samana, they sold the thing. But see how they play the game. Fala'anahumullah, lu'ina ala lisani Dawood wa Isa bin Maryam. Lu'ina al-ladina kafir. All these type of games played. So you see the the line that the Ummah is taking. Ibahiyat. The Jews did it, and they followed the line of Ibahiyat. Liberation. Liberate them from the shackles, from the structures of the Sharia. They're too long now. Now, just liberate them. And we're going towards them. Then the second thing that, say, 40 years ago I'm talking about, right, that the Ummah was very staunch on, they don't want to see any photo in their homes. They don't want to see a photo. Now, the person sees a photo in the house, it's just a difference of opinion. The ulama have changed their whole mind. They've changed the whole verdict now. Now it's just a difference of opinion. But now you see how they liberated the whole thing. 40 years ago, you see it reprehensible, haram, forbidden. It's a curse. It expels the malaika from your home. And now it's just a difference of opinion. So you see how you downplay the whole Sharia. What was a curse, what chased out the malaika, what was not supposed to be in a Muslim home, now it is just a difference of opinion. I know one person, Alim, I met him. He said, I got the photo of Mufti Taqi Sahab. I'm keeping it as a barakat. I'm keeping it as a barakat. As an Alim. And when you downplay the Sharia, now that which was a curse, which chased out the malaika, now he comes and says that this, I'm keeping this, what, as a barakat. Can you see that? So what was a curse, what chased out the malaika, didn't only become a difference of opinion, it became a means of barakat. See that? See how it's downplayed. Now the downplay is because of several reasons. We're seeing these things here, but nobody's talking about it. Kanu la yatanahawna am munkarin fa'alu. The wrong is taking place, but nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about it. In this week here, right? So, getting musallis, some senior people, and they're complaining the misbehavior in the masjids, right? We're seeing the misbehavior, and nobody's talking about it. Children are running around this side, that side. Becoming like an entertainment park, big masjid, and children are just running around, and nobody's talking about it. So what is it, an entertainment center, or it's an Islamic center like America, where everything is alright. The line they will use, just to make it look right, is, it's not too bad, it's not too bad. That's the line they will use. So it's alright, let them pray, at least they'll come, they'll get used to the masjid, etc., etc. Pana, you got 700-800 people coming for the namaz there. Everybody's namaz is getting spoiled for the few children that are running around. And the imam or whoever is the head of the masjid, he doesn't have the heart to correct the situation. Now, aren't you attracting the curse of Allah Ta'ala? Are you or not? It's your duty to maintain the respect, the integrity, the honor of that house. If in your house someone comes, right, and he stretches his legs, loudly he's giving gas. Another guest comes and do that. We gotta say, but it's my house, respect it. Won't you say that? So your house must be respected, but the house of Allah Ta'ala, if it's disrespected, it's alright. If in your car now, for example, someone got something with a little bit of a strong smell, right? Meat or something. Hey, wait, not in my car, please. So your car and your house must be respected so much. The house of Allah Ta'ala can be disrespected, it's alright. But my house, my car, I don't want any foul smells. I don't want it at all. Masjid is alright. The masjid is for everybody. But my house is my personal thing. My car is my personal thing. That must be respected. So the house of Allah Ta'ala is a secondary thing, na'udzubillah. Your house and your car is the primary thing. Don't play around here. Don't mess around. See that everything is neat. See that with how the values change. Now, are you going to get that type of barakat from those spots? أُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَنْ يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. You need to come in. You need to come with a level of respect. Allah is saying, مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَنْ يَدْخُلُوهَا. Did he ever speak about this in your house and your motor car? They come with respect. But he spoke about his house. مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَنْ يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. So the place that we're supposed to be honoring and respecting has gone. Now, an ordinary person, today after Fajr, someone caught me, and 5 minutes of mine is gone. I got my mamul, I have to come quickly to class. But his complaint was a valid complaint. But it's a valid complaint, I have to listen to it. It's not the Tabligh Jamaat came in, and where American Jamaat had. Now, man's got no topi, and they put him up to give a bayan. In a sub masjid. He felt offended. I seen that, so I got up and went to him. Because I knew that he was going to come back to me. Other ulama, you don't allow them to come and give a talk. But this person, because he's part of the Jamaat now, so you allowed him to give a talk. Now see how the thing will come. See how it comes. So anybody that's put up, now you have to understand now, what is the mind of people, how they will think it, how they will misconstrue, how... Just put up anybody, give the bayan, and all these people are watching, everybody is watching. Because ye hamara aadmi hai, therefore the bayan is alright. We'll understand why they put the person, because now he's new, coming from an American jungle, he's coming. Before he's come from the African jungle, now he's come from the American jungle. So, jungli ko khara kar diya, jungli ne jungli ko khara kar diya, to kya bari baat ho gayi. So, hum to samajhne wale samajh lete hai, lekin kya dusre samajhte hai kya? Nahi samajhte. So, you understand now that how they look at, how they view things. I just put it, because our aadmi came from America in Jamaat now, so put him up. Don't do that. The house of Allah Ta'ala has got a sanctity, it's got a respect, it's got some level of honor in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Maintain that. Don't lose that out. Don't lose that. The talk can be simple. You don't have to have an American twang, nothing. But see that the sanctity of the masjid is maintained. Before I had to make a noise, big noise I made, family tabligh here also, about the use of the phone. They're coming in the mashwara, in the program that got the phones on. So the complaints that are coming in, all 70-80% have got the phones in the mashwara. I say, hey, but you're defeating the purpose of the sunnah. The sunnah was mashwara. Listen to the person, contribute to that discussion, contribute properly. Now are you contributing to the discussion or contributing to the phone? So I'm a lot of people thereafter. Now you don't make a noise, to koi sunta nahi. You make a noise, you become the bad person. You make a noise against the Jamaat. So now, let them say whatever they say, but at least they come right. Even though they may say something, it's alright. They say something, alright, Allah gave 2 ears, one to just listen, one to just take out. So, you just have to be cool about it, right? There's another problem now. This week there's a problem now. They say, you know what's happening, liberate. No, this Mulana, we like him. He's a cool Mulana. This one, we don't like him because he's too rigid. So now I'm listening to these words. I heard it before. He's too rigid. We don't like him. Christian came, you know, the Mullah sent a proposal, but he's too rigid. We think of just cancelling the thing. So I had to find out quickly, though, what they mean by saying rigid and cool. So, you know, rigid means today's istilahat, you know, how they're using the word. Rigid means he doesn't mix up with girls, no music, no television, he doesn't play paddle and all that, right? So he's a little bit of a rigid mulana. Doesn't get into a mixed gathering, he doesn't snap and all that, no selfies. It doesn't have to be a Salafi also, and not a selfie. So now he's too rigid. So now they want to cancel the whole thing. Why? Because he's too rigid. And cool Mawlana means what? Cool, now he can photo, he can music, now play sports sometimes, sometimes delay the namaz, miss the namaz, alright. Sometimes go shopping with your wife is dressed properly, not dressed too properly. He's a cool Mawlana, we can get along. So I have to answer that one. So I answer that one, right? You're going to take a cool Mawlana today, right? He was too cool, so he was talking to some other girl. And he got interested in her. What would you do now? He was cool, he was talking to them, and he became interested a little bit. They became a little bit too intimate. And what would you do after that? They were crying, so now I want a rigid Mawlana. You can't stop after that. You married for life. You can't stop after that. There's no trading in there. Trading for one, for the other. No trading concept here. But married, now take one. So you rather take one that's rigid. You may find it difficult, but he'll be loyal to you. And the one that was cool, he'll be cool to you, cool to the other woman, cool to music, cool to haram, cool to everything else. Everything liberating. But the liberation comes in this sequence. One thing to the other. See, come from interest, liberated. Men, women, gender equality, liberated. Can you see? Snapping and photography, liberated. Right? Music, I had a Mawlana saying, well, I listen to music, but me, I don't listen to the music, I just listen to the words, you know. I just listen to, you know, how good words. You know? In kadamoku, in rasmoku, many nay bulunga. How you get caught, the way they sing the thing. One man is singing, one woman is singing. I won't forget those rituals, you know, that rituals now. Those customs of the old. So you start crying, you know, that, hey, my father, my grandfather. But now in the mirror, you got a woman singing there, got a man singing there. Now, those words are too exciting. But they got the music and the piano and the tabla, everything carrying on one time. So I'm not listening to the music, I'm listening to the wording. See, the word is too powerful. See that, how they go, how they do it. So music became right, interest became right, snapping became right, woman became right. So what's left? What's left in your deen? Is there anything left now? See, it's liberation. And that is why I say, get the aqaid right. Because like this Murjiya went off in the aqaid, Mu'tazila went off, Qadariya went off, Jabariya went off, right? Khawarij went off, the Shia went off, and Nabi Sam says 73. It'll break up into 73. Now this is the fifth group that we're seeing now. That's the Ibahiyat. Right? And they're going on this line. To liberate you. Liberate you from the shackles. So that, وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُونُونَ سَوَاءً. What's the whole idea that you become like them? وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ. Just look at this verse. 50 times, look at it. That's an assignment. Look at the verse. وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُونُونَ سَوَانًا. The whole idea is that you become kafirs like they are kafirs. What? That you become kafirs like they become kafirs. I understand how this whole Christianity started. I showed you about Judaism, right? How Christianity started. So they talk about Paul, right? So Paul, whenever there was a fight against Christianity, he used to head the armies. He's a Jew, and he's heading the armies against Christianity. So one day it occurred to him that, you know, Christianity, if it is the gospel truth, if it is from Allah Ta'ala, that means we are all Jahannamis, we're fighting against it. So if it is meant that we are Jahannamis, then I can't be roasting in Jahannam alone. I will take all these people to Jahannam. See, the same shaitani concept. وَلَا أُذِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَا أُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ. If I'm going, all must roast with me. So Judaism is next to Satanism. Absolutely. Line to line. Is line to line to Satanism. So the idea is, وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا. They want you to become kafirs like they are kafirs. فَتَكُونَ سَوَانْ. It will be the same. So فَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا مِنْهُمْ. Don't ever take them friends. So he said, now, hey, I must make a plan to get this thing right, get them all to Jahannam. So then what he did, he went and wore torn clothes, hurt himself, all that, dust over himself, cried, as a Christian now. What are you doing here? You are enemies. No. I had a dream. What dream now? See, you have to make a story. I saw Christ and all. You messed it up now. He said, India wrote me, yeah, you become my friend. Just make Tawbah and all that, you become my friend. Now, he gapped in. They kept him in one room, big ibadat there, right? After 1 year came out, I saw a dream. Then he said, no, you know what? There's three gods. Holy Ghost, Isa alayhi salam, and Mary, right? One section he turned that side. Other section he said, no, he's the son of God. Third section he made, no, he is God himself. But he broke the whole Christianity. He's going to Jahannam and he's asking him to go to Jahannam.